KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that corner star?
Right here. You take the corner star.
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 284. Recorded April 14th, 2018. I'm your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Robert Simmons. Hola.
Howdy, howdy.
Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
And joining us tonight is a very special guest, Mr. Paul Fremel of Ripped Apparel. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on. I do want to apologize right off the top of the bat about some of the, if there's any audio issues, because the way I'm having to do this right now is like really convoluted. I'm hearing myself echo back in my own headset, and it's really distracting. But you guys only hear once, so every time you talk, it's like paradise. Yeah.
Well, it sounds good over here.
I hope so.
I do have velvety pipes.
Yes. I'm also doing something else. I'm broadcasting live, and I'm pre-recording. So if the live broadcast turns out to be crap, I'll delete it and upload the pre-record. I'm using a totally different software right now. I'm using OBS again. We didn't have good results with OBS a couple years ago. But I'm hoping in the last couple years we've gotten some updates and everything that helps it stream a little better. Right now it kind of looks good, but I don't know if it's buffering or not. So we'll see. Well, it's on to our guest. Paul, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you got into Transformers?
Sure. I mean, I'm just a fan, like anyone else, like all you guys. I've been in it since I was a young boy. I think I got Optimus Prime for my third or fourth birthday. Something like that, and you know, that dates me a little bit, but I've been hooked ever since. Although I kind of, you know, fell out during the whole Beast Wars era, but came back around 2000 with Car Robots, which I imported myself before I ever knew what Big Bad Toy Store was, you know, and
just like Don.
College.
Then probably things let Aaron Archer a few years ago for bringing them over a year later, so I could buy them again.
Yeah, I definitely felt, I listened to that podcast and I definitely felt your pain on that one. Although, I kind of like that they came over. I just was shocked when it was actually called Optimus Prime versus, you know, Fire Prime or something. So, anyways, that's how long I've been in it. And I've steadily become more and more of what I consider myself to be a pretty hardcore collector. Not in terms of Facebook groups by any means, but... I am a big-time Mint and Sealed box collector. I am a big-time specific character collector. And
Mint and Sealed tub collector.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been there.
My own religion called I call it Bin Life. So there's mantras from the Great Bin, which house all your toys. And you know, for a living, I've always done sort of. I've been in the music industry for a while. I've done a lot of web work, and for the past 10 years, my kind of claim to fame has been creation of a website called RippedApparel.com, and my friends and my two partners and I created a platform where artists all over the world can submit their t-shirt designs, and then from the submissions, we pick designs that are going to be sold for 24 to 36 hours at this point, and we profit share with the artists. So I kind of give them a platform to be seen and get their work out there. And, you know, after almost 10 years, we now do 3 designs every day. They used to last for just 24 hours, but now after the 24 hours, they raise in price for another 6 hours. That's called Last Call. And we also have a variety of shirts that are available all the time, which internally we call our anytime product. But, you know, most e-commerce websites consider that just, you know, regular product. But since we do everything kind of based on this 24-hour model, those are our anytime products. So it's taken a while to get to that point. And now, just as a full transparency, we used to have a facility here in Chicago, which is where we've always been based. But in the past, starting at the beginning of this year, we are now back to kind of how we started. It's just the 3 partners, and we're outsourcing most of our production. Where for a good 4 or 5 years, we had a staff of about 30. We did everything in-house. We screen-printed everything ourselves, fulfilled the orders, did all the marketing, and now we're kind of going back to how we started because the industry has changed. But from the customer standpoint and the artist standpoint, it's all pretty much the same.
It's all the same. Yeah, I know I've been following Ripped Apparel for several years now, and I've got several of the designs. I love the Transformer mishmash ones. I mean, I'm wearing one right now, the Unicron and Tron. Yeah, and Rob's wearing another. Some great, great designs. But it's not just Transformers. I mean, you've got a lot of pulp culture on there. You want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's whatever the artists give us, you know, whatever ammo they supply us is what we have, you know, to fire, essentially. And you know, we'd try to stay in this gray area where it's not actually, you know, a Transformer shirt. It would be something very close to that, but it's something outside of the universe or outside of the, you know, the IP, something that pushes it beyond just being, you know, what official merchandise could be. That's kind of what we've found is our sweet spot with the customer base. It's stuff that people might want that the official sources wouldn't necessarily give them. So, I mean, if you want to relate it in Transformers terms, it's a bit like the third party industry in a way. But, yeah, we basically will take anything people give us, and as long as it's not, you know, blatantly infringing upon one specific thing, we believe in the design and it's, you know, well illustrated, we'll probably sell it. But every day, every week when we select stuff, we have to pick at least 21 designs out of the few hundred that we get, and that can be more difficult than it sounds.
I can imagine.
You don't want 10 designs that are all the same joke, which tends to happen. Like, all the artists think it's really cool that, you know, Black Panther came out and it's really popular, so they're all trying to make the same, like, Wu-Tang, Wakanda, right? You know, like, and they all do it, and whoever does it the best is the one that ends up winning, you know, in our eyes. But, you know, they're free to take those designs to other places as well if we aren't able to find a place for it.
You know, if you don't take it that week, will you take it? Do you have some that, you know, you put off to the next week or later in the month, things of that nature?
That's a good question. I mean, really, the selection process is kind of the secret sauce. I'm not sure how our competitors do it because there are a lot of competitors in this space. I just know how we do it. And, you know, I have a really close thumb on the pulse of what the artists are thinking, because we have a really large Facebook group where I interact with them and stuff. And they, what they think happens is definitely not what is happening behind closed doors. Like, it's like we may select stuff to wait for the next week, but we typically won't, because within the next week we'll probably have a whole new slew of stuff. We'll typically just, if there's a design that didn't make it in this week, say we have almost, I mean, this would be unprecedented, but like four Infinity related designs, if you know what I mean. You know, there's probably seven or eight that are really good that came in. We may take one and push it to the next week. But when we do that, that means we took a slot from that particular like subset of designs for the following week. So it's kind of risky. Like, we really have to like it. And typically, it can be difficult to find 21 designs that really are all, you know, we all feel strongly about. So if we have 22 that we all feel strongly about, it's pretty rare that'll happen. And then we will push it forward. But, you know, every week is different. So I don't want to, like, you know, say this is how it is, and then it's actually not like that.
So theoretically, if you took every design and it was like, there's three designs out of four that you really, really like, and you push two of them, it would really snowball. I mean, you'd have a mountain of back designs for years.
Yeah, and we've been there before. And so we've kind of found that it's the most fair thing for the artists to just tell them, hey, we're not going to do it, and, you know, feel free to push it somewhere else, because they can end up sitting there waiting, you know, like, well, I really want to be on Ripped. And so if, you know, if it's not going to happen, it's better to let them know as soon as possible.
Do you feel like getting on Ripped is like a stamp or a badge for an artist of, you know, a bit of legitimacy, or just a cool, you know, tidbit to say, you know, I've been on Ripped, I've been on this, I've been on that. I don't know the names of your competitors. Do you think you're that, are you that cool? Are you that important?
I don't, you know, I honestly don't like to think that way, but I mean, I've seen artists do it, you know, be like, hey, I've been featured, this design has been featured on Ripped, and they'll do that when they sell at other places. And I think that's great. That means, to some artists, I believe it is a big deal, especially the ones that haven't been printed. And I'm always trying to encourage people to do it. We do not like have a rule in our artist group that says you have to have been printed to be in it. It basically, anyone can join it as long as they, you know, identify themselves. That's the only rule, because we don't want someone coming in there that's like just going to steal everybody's designs, because that does happen a lot. But some of the artists do feel it's a pretty prestigious thing. And that always, you know, warms my heart when I see that, because, you know, I would just say, I mean, as I described earlier, the company is now back down to just the three core owners. You know, that's part of a reflection of the industry, unfortunately. It has kind of like come down from a wave that everyone was riding high on for a while. And I think that has a lot to do with changes in Facebook and how advertising goes, and all these other platforms where people can easily steal a design. And
I've been seeing that a lot on Facebook.
Yeah. And one thing is that I have on my Twitter feed, I don't do much Facebook, but I do mostly Twitter. And I see a lot of people saying, hey, this company stole my art. They're selling stuff from this website with my product on it. And that's one thing I like, is you make sure that the artist gets credit and everybody shares in the hard work that's being done. So that's very important that you all distinguish yourselves like that. I don't buy a lot of shirts. It's just, I'm a big guy. I just don't buy a lot of shirts. But the one shirt I made sure to buy off Rip was the Optimus, the Peter Cullen doing the Superman pose with the Optimus Prime underneath. That was for the charity for Hasbro Children's Hospital. And I love that shirt, and I love this. He's just doing the whole, and it's the Optimus Prime head, the chest in front of it, which I thought was wonderful. And y'all were doing that as a donation. I'm just curious, this was a while back, but how much money did that shirt raise? Do you happen to remember for Hasbro Children's Hospital? Do you remember how much?
That was a special, that whole thing was like every design is a different story, and that one was a special one. First off, the artist that did it, his pseudonym is Ninja Ink, and his name is Tim Lim. He is awesome, by the way, so you should look him up. Ninja Ink is all you gotta look for. he came up with that design, and then, you know, I was like, okay, this is awesome, but, like, this is really, this is Peter Cullen. So
yeah,
we have to talk to him somehow. And Tim and I talked about it, and we figured out the only way we could really do it and not, like, you know, do anything questionable was we have to reach out to Peter and make sure he's cool with it. And we thought the best way for him to be cool with it, without, like, wanting additional, you know, license money or something, would probably be to do a donation to the Hasbro Children's Hospital. So that's what we decided to do. And luckily, I'm in some Facebook groups that I was able to find someone that knew, had booked him for a convention and got me in touch with his agent, which that's the beauty of Transformers fandom right there. Like, I don't know how I ever would have gotten a hold of him otherwise. And I was able to talk to his agent, and I said, hey, we're going to do this. You know, if Peter would like some, we didn't say we're going to do it. We're like, well, can we do this? Mm-hmm. And he agreed, and he just wanted, like, enough shirts for his nephews and nieces or something. And so we sent him about 20-some shirts, which is quite a bit, actually. But it was just so awesome that he agreed immediately. So we were able to do that.
That's awesome.
And I think, I know that we ended up sending over $2,000 to Hasbro.
And it's $2 a shirt, that's what shows how great that. If you're not familiar with it, y'all can look
it up. I've seen it many times at conventions.
Yeah, I've worn it once or twice. If you look up Peter Cullen Optimus shirt, you get a whole page of results, and it's just great that y'all did that. And that's probably one of my favorite shirts. One of my other favorite shirts was the, I think it was yours. It was the Marty, the DeLorean as Marty McFly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of yours, but I didn't get that one.
We sold it. So just so you guys know, we don't own the designs. The artists do. And so I've seen, like, Back to the Future Optimus. I've seen a few different versions of that. But if it's the one I'm thinking that's on red, that is actually called Marty McPrime, that was done by an artist named Nathan Davis, or Obvian. And I think he did a version of that was in he, like, redrew it a little bit, and that was in Loot Crate. But we sold it first.
Oh, cool.
And we've sold it a few different times. And that artist actually worked for us full-time for a while, and he lives here in Chicago. He's a really, really awesome guy. He loves Transformers. That's why he draws them so well.
You know, you mentioned Loot Crate, and you're talking about how the industry has changed. And I was wondering, do you think that, you know, all the nerd subscription boxes that are out there, of which there's a billion, a lot of them include shirts regularly. And so, you know, the need to go out and buy nerd shirts when you're getting a nerd shirt every month to you, do you think that's impacted you or not really, and it's other factors?
Maybe. It's hard to say. I mean, we have supplied some of those crate companies with the shirt that they use. So, I mean, we've actually benefited from them existing.
Oh, awesome.
But I've also seen a lot of them crash and burn very horribly. And it was a model that we were considering getting into. We actually talked to, this might be a little inside baseball, but we actually talked to Kurt from TF Source at one point about kind of partnering up on some sort of, like, shirt box thing. But it didn't end up happening. And I'm glad we didn't go down that road, because at this point we just wouldn't be able to facilitate it not having, access to production ourselves. So, I mean, more power to those companies. I think they're great because they're expanding, you know, the customer that is interested in this kind of kitschy stuff, and it shows that people are willing to pay, like, a consistent amount of money to, you know, get their fix, if you will.
So, I'm listening to my own echo here. and I just noticed Rob changed his shirt again. He's silly, though. So, what goes... you told us that before the show that some designs, you have some stories behind them, specific designs. Do you have any off the top of your head that you want to mention?
Well, actually, you know, in relation to Transformers, that Optimus Prime, you know, Superman design is probably one of the best ones. And following up on that, the artist went to BotCon that year, and it was, I think, the one in Dallas, and he actually had, like, a printout of that design and had Peter sign it, and it was pretty cool. Let's see, there was just a recent one we did that I thought might ruffle some feathers, but I also thought it was pretty, you know, pretty clever, you know, in the way it worked. But it was basically some really cute looking G1 Autobots marching with signs, picket signs, but they had basically the Ghostbuster sign and Megatron's gun mode was in there. And that was kind of, that was one that we commissioned. So actually I reached out to an artist like, hey, here's this idea. I think you can pull it off. Would you be interested in doing it? And, I don't have it like on screen right now, but, it also has Starscream hiding in the background. Like he's marching along with them sort of, like, yeah, I sort of support you guys. But the thing was that it wasn't supposed to be like an anti-gun shirt. You know, wasn't supposed to be
anti-toy gun law. Pretty much.
It was just anti-Megatron, you know. Yeah. It's like, this guy sucks. Let's get rid of him. And I don't know. You know what? Everyone I showed it to said like, ooh, don't do that. Don't do that. That's going to be bad. And we sold it and it didn't make hardly... no one was angry, not even one person.
I miss that one. I want it.
Or no one told me. There it is. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, let me ask, sir. One thing I'm just wondering is there like one design that came through that was so awesome, so incredible, and you wound up not being able to do it? You know, like is there any design that you just could not maybe get clearance for? But it's something that, you know, just would have been like the shirt of all shirts.
You know, there's not one specifically because we see so many. I want to say 100,000 shirt designs in the past 10 years. And there's so many that have come through that I'm like, oh, if we could sell that, it would do amazing. The world would love to see this and the world would want to buy it. But... it's light, just lightness
issues. Yeah, lightness issues, yeah. Or copyrights, and
it's just asking for trouble, you know. And there's it's always a bummer when you see artwork that's so good and you have to tell someone no. And we really don't give people like a reason because there's just not. I mean, that's how rejection works. You just don't get told why. You know, it's not you, it's me. That's what we pretty much tell.
On that topic, I had an amazing shirt that I submitted, and it didn't get approved in our shirt. And some of you, with your CEO title, and I don't understand why this never got approved. And I'm really upset.
I'll tell you what, there was some discussion generated by it, at least.
I hope to see it. I'm hoping this can bring a resurgence back, because I need that. I need that shirt so bad. You know how long I spent drawing this?
5 minutes.
I'd say 3.
It's possibly in that range of my time. That's really upset.
That's a lot of money, you know. I don't know why it didn't happen. Time's money. Sorry. It might have been a likeness issue.
I might start a GoFundMe for this to get this cause out there.
Why don't you just put it up on a print-on-demand site? You can do it. You have to pay yourself. $20.
I have to have your approval. Do I have your approval to use your likeness for the CEO shirt?
Sure.
Okay, there it is. That's rock clad.
I'm not the CEO, though. So, you know, that's what...
He's the CMO.
Don't try to downplay it. Don't try to downplay it.
Chief Creative Officer. That is my title.
Just in case your business partners are listening, he has told me on multiple times the rest of you guys suck, and he is the CEO, and he does all the work, and y'all don't do anything ever. Just to get that out there.
Not true.
I think Don's blushing.
No, I'm just saying, keep it classy, Robert. Keep it classy.
That is the highest class I have.
I know, that's the sad
part. He's not even deluxe class.
He's basement class. I wonder if like a really nice Headmaster Don shirt would go over well. I wonder what that would actually...
In this fandom, it would. It would.
And that is not a solicitation by any stretch of the imagination, because apparently I'm already Zordon. I have been turned into a Ferengi because of my Dononomics ability. So that is not a, please do not put me on a shirt. Really.
Okay.
Don't put me on a shirt.
Don, if one of us were to draw that, and it was to be made a shirt, I promise you, you would get part of the money.
I'd rather not even be on the shirt because it would, you would, you, someone would stick me. And this was done the other day on Twitter. I was drawn riding a Supreme Cheetor, and no, just no.
Well, you know, as an artist, you gotta see this. What I would see, I would see it as the Fort Max, you know, pose of him pulling his head off on the comic, you know, and it's just Headmaster Don. I don't know what the face would look like exactly, but that's the part where it's up for artistic interpretation.
My envisionment is an RC standing there taking her head off.
Like the opening issue of the 4-issue miniseries.
Yes. And then a shot of Don from behind going, you know, with his hand up in the air. Hey!
Hey, what does this red button down here do? Oh, it hangs up the call.
No, it's the little heart over there saying, do you love it? I don't know why Scott puts that on there.
Yeah. But as far as the whole process goes, now you do hoodies. I'm trying to remember. You've done hoodies, you've done all sort of, you know, lady shirts, men shirts and all that. Have you ever considered branching out into other areas? Again, I have not looked at the shirts in a while, just to be honest. But I mean, have you thought about branching out into other either soft goods or
men's
other
thongs? Some chaps?
Yes. Why not? Just let's take our crazy on fire train and put it right off the cliff.
The wheels are melting.
Have we done that? At this point, we're not really looking to expand the product line, but we have had lots of different items over the years. Like, we've had headphones, posters, these little mini Bluetooth speakers you could use, like that would just play music or whatever. We had laptop cases, phone skins. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every time you add a product, it kind of exponentially increases the workload because you have to make all the graphics for any sizes that you have every day, three times for every day. Mm-hmm. And they have to be put in place. And, you know, then you have more SKUs. I mean, already every day we have over 150 new SKUs that go live.
Wow. That would
it's part of the problem of what we do, because not only do we make all those SKUs every day, they don't all get purchased, and they only exist for 36 hours. So it's a lot of – we've had to find ways to make the whole process as automated as possible to make it worthwhile. And anytime we add another product, it really complicates things. I mean, we can make it so it's not so complicated, but at this point we're just trying to we're trying to focus on the product line we have.
And probably some of the artwork, either scaled up or scaled down, won't fit certain products. Either what you're shooting for is lost, or the quality drops to a point that it really wouldn't be good on that item anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain size we ask the artists for their artwork now. We've actually streamlined the art submission process compared to how it used to be years ago. But pretty much anything that is the size of your chest, if it's bigger than that, it might start to actually lose some image quality. But it should be fine shrinking down, unless there's a lot of patterns involved, because it's all an automated shrinking process. At this point, a human doesn't touch much of it except the final output. So there can be some issues, like weird mathematical issues, by shrinking down a piece of artwork that just doesn't work quite right for that.
Well, so, especially if it's G2 artwork and that much neon concentrated, it'd be like, I can't see. The shirt blinded me.
It'll most likely be dull.
If you have
get those colors.
Do you have a lot of feedback with the artist? Like, if you get a submission, I know you get so many, maybe it's not worth the time, but it's like, we really want this one, but it needs a couple tweaks. Do you have back and forth with that, or is it pretty much take it as is, or nah? we got too many to go through.
There will be. It's only if we very specifically know what we want them to change, we will have them change it. If it's like, oh, we like it, but we just don't know why it doesn't work, we won't bother with any sort of vagueness when we're trying to communicate with the artist. At least that's my goal, is like, hey, we love this, but you need to change. So here's a good design. So recently there was someone that did an Iron Maiden Galvatron. Like the Iron Maiden, the dude held in the flag on the front of I think it's The Killer is the album. I don't know if you guys are mm-hmm. Iron Maiden fans, but they took Galvatron and they put him in the Torculon, you know, bindings, the web world stuff. And so I forget what he had up there. It was just like iron web. I think he just wanted it to say web.
I want that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry you missed it. Oh. It was a few weeks ago.
I missed that. Yeah.
But I actually, there it is. Yeah. I can't, I forget what he had. It says Iron Madness in that picture. But I wanted him to just make it say web world. Or I wanted him to say Iron Maniac. And usually the artists, like, take what I say, like, I mean, kind of as gospel. They're like, okay, I'll do it. This guy was pretty adamant. He's like, nope, that doesn't make sense. I think it should be Iron Madness. I'm like, okay. And so he did. And it turned out pretty good. I think he just really wanted, it to look the way he did. But the artwork is pretty awesome.
That is amazing.
Well, those instances, like if it's usually if it's text, that's really easy to change because they're usually just a font or something. But I try to stay as close to the artist's intended vision as possible.
Well, let me ask you this, sir. Have you considered, since there's always going to be shirts people find out after the fact, and it's just going to be, you know, like during, like, oh, I didn't know that existed, and then, oh, it's too late, it's gone. Have you ever considered doing, like, a best of run? Say, 1 week, you pick all the shirts from the past, or at least however many you want to create, and then promote it, like, in advance. Like, this is our like a creator's week, where you go back and pick the best shirts that sold the best, that was the most well-liked. Have you considered doing that, not only as, like, a boost for y'all in income, but to give the fans a chance to pick up something they might have missed?
Yeah, we have definitely done that. There is a link right now for last year's bestsellers, because that was kind of our end-of-year promotion, and that's usually when we'll do it, is, like, moving into Black Friday. We'll kind of take the last, you know, the last year's best 20 to 40 designs and put them in our Anytime store for a discounted price, usually somewhere between like $13 to $15, which is essentially the same as our daily price. So that's a pretty significant discount, because usually our Anytime shirts are about $22, just because the production process is so different. So there is a bestsellers list. I'm not sure if that design would make it in. I can't remember the sales numbers, but usually it's based on like a bestsellers, you know, top 20 to 40. So we have thought of it, but, like, you know what, you bring up a kind of artist choice. You know, what we really haven't done in a while is something we used to call artist appreciation month or week or period, where basically artists would get done that time period. And that's something that, you know, I need to maybe look at doing again. And so, maybe the artists can select designs too on during that period. That would be cool.
So before we move on, off the top of your head, what is your favorite design that you've seen come through the store? And what is your least favorite? Personally.
He's going to be a pussy and totally not going to say which one his least favorite is. He's not gonna.
Well, it could be a long time.
There's just so many, Robert. There's so many bad ones, Robert. I don't know which one to pick.
That's usually the ones that Robert submits.
Well, I mean, if you want to go for the low hanging fruit, sure.
No pun intended.
Hey, his mother didn't like that shirt submission, for what it's worth. Thank you, Facebook.
Well, because you posted it on my Facebook page, and let's see. This is such a good question, and you know what? It's kind of my fault not being prepared for it.
Well, while you're doing that, this is probably my favorite design y'all have done. The Scarface with Breaking Bad, the one who knocks. I just absolutely love the shirt, love the show. You know, I know it's not Transformer related, but I always just thought that one was really cool. Oh, yeah. And it's also simple as well, and I think that helps heighten it.
Fans cannot live by Transformers alone, you know. It's
what?
It's almost possible.
No.
But it's practically,
that was Nick Holmes.
It's practically Kim Possible is what it is, so there's that.
I've seen so many shirts. It's hard to really give a appropriate answer. Like, I have to think, like, in the last few months, you know. But there was one that killed.
We're losing you, Paul.
Yes. Yeah. You cut out there for a second.
Can't hear me? It's probably because I'm going to the website. I'm sorry. It's probably because I was searching a website. But, like, in the last few months, one of the funniest ones I saw was this, like, Rick James, Dave Chappelle, like, you know, Batman slapping Robin. You know, that one panel that is kind of a meme. When I saw that, I was like, okay, we got to sell this one. And luckily, my partners agreed with me. So that was by a guy named COD Designs. Name is Steve Gellinter. He's very talented. He also has a bunch of artists that work with him. My least favorite? God, probably, you know, I'll tell you this. Our best-selling shirt ever is definitely not one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you what was some of your most popular shirts, so this is two birds and one stone.
Yeah, it's we sold a lot of these. It was the Minions holding the TARDIS.
Minions holding the TARDIS.
Like the yellow Minion guys.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was a big deal. It was one of those things we just kind of threw it. Like, hey, maybe this will do good, whatever. And it was like our best selling design of all time.
Is that it? Like, there was multiple images.
That is it. Yes.
Yeah, my girlfriend loves the Minions.
I'm sick of them.
She doesn't know anything about Doctor Who, so she'd be like, "Why are they carrying a phone booth?"
That's no.
It's a police booth.
I'm sorry.
The artist did. I mean, the illustration is good.
It is.
I don't want the artist to be like, "What? He hates."
You just don't like that.
No,
idea.
That's not true.
You just don't care about minions.
I'm just sad.
Yeah.
I'm sad. This is our best-selling design. Bums me out. But I appreciate that.
It could be worse. It could be Robert's design.
That would be a new bestseller by far.
He's going to clean it up.
If that was a big seller.
Yeah, he's going to clean it up. And
that
start
shirt's
selling
make
it.
You famous.
Yeah, he's going to clean it up and start submitting it weekly.
Each time I'll just improve it just
we'll
a little
block
bit.
Block him.
Yeah. Eventually, like, let's just print this damn thing. I think my personal favorite, though, this is probably my second favorite one. But my favorite one was from, was it TFCon last year? And you... Or TFCon year before last. The Evil GPS.
I'm wearing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite one. I mean, it just hits the Phantom right in the feels, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was all Nathan Davis. He came up with that idea, and I was like, hey, I want to do a really cool exclusive shirt for TFCon because we were selling at, cause if it's in Chicago, it would made a lot of good sense for us to go sell at the event. Plus, it gave me a reason to go to TFCon. And what was unfortunate is that the guys at TFCon were like, hey, if you would have told us about that exclusive shirt, we would have added, you know, a gold G2 air raid or slingshot. Sorry. We would have added him to the comic. And I was like, oh, that would have been amazing. Because then the shirt would have been, you know, like sort of canon for the event. But I'm glad you like that one.
Yeah. It's whenever
very, very niche-y.
whenever Sergio pointed it out to me at the con, because I went as a dealer helper with Captured Prey, and I was walking around before the show, and I walked by the booth, and he's like, dude, check this out, and he held it up. I'm like, shut up and take my money.
Oh, cool.
So let's move on to your the hobby of Transformers and everything specifically. I'm assuming G1 is your soup du jour, as it were.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just from the beginning. I still have paid attention to everything else that's pretty much gone on.
Are you into, like the Power of the Primes or anything?
Yeah, yeah. I like to collect things based on characters. So, like, definitely the Terracons are you know, I guess to give you some background, they were the first combiner I ever finished as a kid, or the only one I ever did. So I always thought they were just really underutilized and cool. So I'm definitely into that. And I try to collect, like, almost the whole modern lines sealed and put them in a bin somewhere, like Robert likes to make fun of me of.
I've been there.
You've been there?
Ha. Huh. You see what I did there? Yes. Well, years ago, before I did my massive sell-off, you know, I had probably 12 or 13 bins of nothing but sealed product. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite characters that you like besides the Terracons?
Definitely Starscream. I kind of boast that I have, I think, the most complete Starscream collection that exists. So, but as far as the list of, so he's my main one. You know, I'm trying to follow in the footsteps of Elvin Pena, if you guys know who that is. He was the guy that kind of like did he tried to get every Optimus toy ever.
Yep.
And he tried to get them sealed, and that was like, once I saw his collection, I was like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. And he, you know, unfortunately, he sold it all. I don't know how he managed to do that, but he did. And so I kind of trying to follow in his footsteps for Starscream specifically.
Do you go into pre-Starscream stuff, like, you know, the Diaclone molds and where some of that, you know, and the knockoffs and some of the wacky Starscream knockoffs that are out there as well? Do you consider that part of it or just bonus?
It's probably more bonus, but I think the Diaclone and the Micro Change stuff, like, if you really want to collect, like, a character sort of collection, you have to go all the way back. So you have to get the Diaclone stuff. And I actually do have the pre-Transformer version of all the characters I collect except Soundwave, because that one time there was an auction for a Cassette Man and my mom was on the computer and I couldn't make that last bid and lost it for $150 back in the day.
Oh man.
So I still don't have that one.
The last grail.
Thanks for nothing, yeah. Mom.
Yeah, Mom. What'd you do? Give birth to me? Jeez. But I collect... I do it with Optimus Prime, which is, you know, that is just insane to... I mean, I don't collect all the characters like I collect Starscream. It's basically just a loose figure collection for everyone other than Starscream. So this display behind me, which, I mean, you can't really tell. It used to be full of Optimus Primes, like one per... It's a mess right now because I had to do a lot of moving. But it used to have, like, one large Optimus Prime in each cubby hole, and I thought it looked pretty great. So when I did PFCon last year, everyone came over and we, you know, hung around and looked at that for a while. Like, if you hadn't seen certain versions of Optimus, it was a pretty cool display to look at.
PFCon?
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, it's just a party. Just a party that we pretend is a real convention here in Chicago.
What is that, Rob?
Oh yeah, what is that?
That is the exclusive from PFCon 2017. There are other parts, but this is all I bothered to bring over. Yeah. Some masterfully talented person has hand painted every single bit of this guy. I actually have a on Bruman's videos, I have a a quick video review of it too. So if anybody wants to see more about what Paul put together for it.
TFCon exclusive.
It's just a big joke. You know, a friend of... In Chicago, we have a really tight-knit group of guys that we have, like, this text message group that has, like, 100 messages a day, and you have to turn off notifications because it's just too busy. And we used to keep having meetups, you know, every few months at someone's house, and then one guy's like, I'm going to have PaulCon. So his name is Paul, and it's not me. It's a different Paul. And he had an exclusive wood duck, which was an in-joke. Because he has ducks, he lives by a lake. So he's like, "Hey, this is the PaulCon exclusive." And so I was like, "Well, I'm gonna do PFCon, because it's, you know, like TFCon, it's the play on words." And he had already taken PaulCon, and then I actually made an exclusive toy, like I got, and it's one of the characters of one of the guys in our Chicago group, and you know,
he loved
this
it.
Year we're doing it again, and it's gonna be bigger and better.
What kind of exclusives are you going to have this year?
Well,
definitely not a Chicago White Sox themed one.
Not yet. Not yet. I do kind of want to pull in the sports teams, like with decos and stuff, but the idea is each character is supposed to be one of the guys in the group. So there's like fiction and everything. There's a comic book, and there's artwork for this stuff. It's pretty stupid and ridiculous, but I got this idea from DairyCon up in Wisconsin, if you guys have ever heard of that. It was just last weekend. Went to that with this other guy, Paul, who did PaulCon, and man, that is one of the best conventions around, just because of how small it is and how local and how passionate the guys are. I definitely recommend going to it. And so trying to emulate what they're doing with their toys is what I'm kind of the goal with PFCon. So this year it's a set of the clones from Walgreens, but they are, oh yeah, you got one.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I wanted one from this year, but haven't been able to get one.
You got the lucky draw, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah, I was really lucky. I was super lucky, and in my bag was one of the lucky draws, so one of a kind. And it's really hard to get the exclusives, because they don't just have them sitting there and you buy them. It's, you have to pre-register and you get one. That's it. And they give it to you at the entry. And if you didn't pre-register, you're SOL.
For this year, are you going to have, or do you know what other goodies you're going to have other than just the clones? Because, you know, last year, for those who don't know, and again, you can see it in my video, blah, blah, blah. You know, we had some coasters and we had the little comic that went with it. You know, you're going to do some of that same stuff, or not sure yet?
There'll probably be like a little goodie bag. There might be a coaster again, and probably a free comic book, an official comic book, like a Transformers thing. But I don't know. I mean, I've been working on these for months. It takes a lot of time to do this stuff, way more than I expected. I mean, it's outrageous.
I mean, I got to give credit to whoever's been doing these. I'm assuming it's Fred. Is it Fred doing those?
I try to twist his arm to tell me more details. He's a tough nut to crack.
He is. But I mean,
they've been doing Dairy Con for 18 years.
We're trying to grow our little group here in the Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee area. And I mean, we generally have decent turnout to our meetups, but nowhere near like 100 or anything like that.
And we also do them monthly, though.
Yeah.
You know, when you do something every month, you're not going to get, you know, that size of crowd. If we only did that once a year, you know, and people could plan it out 12, you know, 8 to 12 months in advance, you know, I think we'd get, you know, probably 30, 40 people showing up, maybe more if we actually advertised it beyond just our social network. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much.
Do you really want
people, you
100
know.
People? I mean, do you really want 100 people coming? That's like unruly.
I mean, that's something not different. Really. That's not the meetup we're doing. It's a completely different thing.
And when we sit around. Sometimes we have them at the Capture Prey warehouse, and we'll just sit around a table, play Cards Against Humanity, buy toys, sit around and play with them, and just talk nerd.
Do you guys already know all those guys, or are there new people?
Sometimes there's new.
Every time.
Sometimes there's
a lot of guys were new to me. Like, you know, some of them I'd known online, but, you know, given that I am in Tennessee, you know, I'm not local to Kentucky. It's just close enough that I can make the drive at about three and a half hours, you know, so I can get up there and back for the day. But, you know, yeah, there's been plenty of new guys that I didn't know that I've met, so that's been awesome.
Yeah, we it's growing since a lot of people's finding out about our Facebook group, like the Kentucky Transformers Facebook group. So anybody that's in Kentucky or frequent coming to Kentucky can join the group and find out information about the meetups.
Yeah, I mean, with the, you know, the dispersion of BotCon, this is kind of what's happening, is we're getting all these compartmentalized little conventions around. I went to Pete's thing last year, too, which was, and so did you, Rob, right?
I was there, too.
Yes.
Oh, you were there too. Sorry, I mean that was pretty cool. I don't know why this year, why he's doing it on a Sunday. So I'm not gonna be able to make it.
I actually had asked him and Jesse about that. I think it was on AllSpark. They were replying, and they said that their research showed that people found it easier to show up on Sunday. And I think though that they're looking at the local people, you know, the people that don't have to drive to make it out. Mm-hmm. For them, Sunday worked better. And so I guess. I mean, I don't know. They did their research. I assume they have their numbers, and they wouldn't do it if they thought it was going to shoot themselves in the foot. But I know Pete has also said, you know, coming from after doing BotCon for like almost a decade, over a decade with FunPub, that, you know, he wanted that small local show for what BotCon was, you know, back in the day, because I know Pete catches a lot of flack for various reasons, but, you know, he was a fan. You know, he was back at those early BotCons with the Hartmans, and he's been in it a long time, and he wanted that small regional show. So in losing people that might travel further, like myself, like I'm not going to go this year because I can't make a Sunday. It's too far. I think they're okay with that trade-off. They just really are interested in that local people that can come up for the day or two anyways.
Yeah, it'd be great if, since we are now getting all of these local conventions, that way people can take there's a better chance for them hitting something locally than in the past when, you know, well, for me, where I work, you know, it's hard to get vacation sometimes if where I'm going is in a time period in which everybody's going on vacation at the same time. So you have to get there. You have
like spring break or fall break.
Yeah, you have to get your vacation in as early as possible, otherwise you might not get it. That's kind of why I never made it to Charticon, was I just could not get the time off because so many people had already requested off by the time I knew I could go. And everything else, but I wish Hasbro would get on their collectors club deal that they've been talking about. That way, we can have local conventions for the fun and the friendship and the meetup, and we could still get the collector kind of that we got with BotCon from them. That way, it's a little bit more of kind of having BotCon there. It's not an exact substitute. There's never going to be another BotCon, and it's the way it was, or the way it, you know, through John and Carl all the way through the end of FunPub. But I love the fact that we are getting these more local conventions. People are stepping up, trying to fill in the void. But it would be nice to have that collector's aspect too, for everyone that wants, like, I don't know, Thundercracker is another. Maybe I like to see this mold as Sunstorm. It's just weird. I like to see it because we've got the dark colors. I want to see this sucker in Dayglow orange and yellow. You know, I want to see like a Sunstorm color. Or you can
I'm going to challenge
as somebody.
I'm going to challenge a bit in that I don't think that anything has changed with the demise of other than not having a BotCon really sucks. That totally sucks because, you know, that was my jam. But, you know, I feel that the small local groups, that's been going on for a while because DairyCon's been going on, as Paul said, for like almost 20 fucking years.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had SlagaCon, we had CharterCon, we had SavaCon. There have been – I had Tennessee meetups back in like – shit, I don't even know, like 04, 05 – with some local guys that I haven't seen in a long time, unfortunately.
But I mean,
hopefully they're still out there. But it's like, I think that's always been going on. I think it's still going on. And for collectors, I think TFCon is the natural place to go to, which was around during BotCon days as well. So I really don't think much has changed, other than we don't have a good official convention anymore, and we lost those exclusives that we were giving. Like, that's obviously totally gone, and Hasbro's not filling in the gap. They kind of started with that RC and the Grotesque. You know, those even said club on them.
Yeah.
So, but I don't feel it's been as – yeah, it's not the same, but I don't feel like we've seen more little things pop up, at least not yet, because of it.
Yeah, I mean, DairyCon is awesome, but, like, this is not for everybody, you know? This is a weird – this isn't even a G1 mold. It's a KO, an upside KO from Sir Toys that they just do a really good job.
Is that the one that I think it is?
Painting.
With the bio that I think it is?
I don't really know. I don't know. Fluffer is its name?
Yes.
Yeah. Fluffer. We need the official exclusive toys. I mean, I can go without, you know, another year or two, and then I'm going to start, you know.
Y'all got any more of them exclusives?
That plastic crack. Yeah.
So, if you've listened to the show any length of time, you know that we've brought back a segment that we had on the original TFYP several years back, and it's called Ouch My Wallet. So I'm going to kick it off by asking you, do you have anything that has made your wallet say ouch recently?
Yeah. let's see. I just got this guy. I got this one using one of the eBay coupons recently.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a prototype or a test shot of the Fall of Cybertron Starscream. And so nice. Kind of going back to, we kind of derailed from the conversation of the character collecting, but like once you kind of have them all, you have to start going crazy and getting the weird stuff like this.
Now, the strange thing is, that's not my favorite mold, but in those colors being G2, basically, I would buy that.
It almost has Toxitron colors.
It looks like cotton candy or something.
It,
you know?
It reminds me of that G2 swoop art. That never
And I don't know too much about why they do these things this way. I always thought the plastic was random, but as I'm looking at this, I think they just wanted to show how different the parts are or something from each other.
Or stuff on the same trees. So it shows off what's being done on the same trees. It's even massive.
There's only a few guys that I like converse with regularly that are into this kind of stuff, and one of them is he goes by Cobra Zartan on TFW. A lot of people know him. He's helped me get a lot of these things. He has some source. I don't know how he gets them. I don't ask. But this was just on eBay. It had been there for a while, and with one of those coupons, the price wasn't too bad. You know, like
Now, do you try to get any of the prototypes, Starscream-based prototypes you see, or are you like, hey, I have one of this, I'm good now? But like, if you see another one in different colors, would that interest you as well?
Well, that's why I didn't buy this one, because I already had, like, a weird purple one. And then this just was, with the coupon, it was cheap enough. I was like, it's pretty crazy.
If the opportunity arises and it fits, you will. But you're not like, I got to get all the prototypes that exist or anything.
Yeah, you have, you know, to be a good collector, you have to be strategic and, you know,
But be patient. Do you think he really wants to go up against Proto Man? Or Brett, if there's a prototype that they don't have and he wants, do you think he's that crazy? I don't.
It would depend on the piece, really. But I'm definitely going to bow out at some point. I've spent a lot of stupid money on toys, but one of the coolest things that was on eBay recently was that blue microchange Bumblebee. Did anyone catch that? Ended up going for over $2,000.
No.
I was the high bidder for like, you know, up to like $1,500, knowing it was still going to go above that, you know, on purpose.
Did Alan buy that, or was he just talking about it? Because I know he's a mini bot collector.
Someone else bought it. Someone else did. But yeah, so that wasn't a huge ouch, but it was, you know, it was what I got. Just showed up today.
Yeah, I mean, I know we were talking before the show went on the air. And I recently got this guy the movie studio leader, Grimlock. And he's not perfect. I mean, he's got some issues and some clearance issues, or not clearance, but posability issues. And I don't particularly like that the inside of his dino head is hollow, but he also has that skeletonized look, so it kind of fits. You know, I don't like it, but I don't hate it either.
Gee, it's almost like putting paint on something helps it make it look better.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, just
my thoughts on that toy are, I'll leave it at that.
You don't like it?
Man, I've really grown out of the movie stuff. Like, I'm not even buying anything from that line.
I generally hate movie stuff, but I love this guy.
I did like a couple of the Voyagers from the last night. Like, that Prime mold's a lot of fun. So, begrudgingly admit it. It's a cool toy.
Well, the
the new Starscream is unbeatable. It's just really good.
Oh, the Voyager?
Yeah. I like the Grimlock, Duran. I think it's great.
Yeah, the detail on it is amazing. The head, like you said, the robot head, is insanely detailed, insanely accurate. But I can't wait to get a hold of the Thundercracker, because that'll be my first exposure to the, I guess it's a Nitro Zeus mold.
Is it exactly the same, or some slight remolds, or heavy rework, or what?
I think it's slightly remolded. I know it's got like a new head.
I think it's just the head, and that was like a little, you know, non-transforming Titan Master head.
Yeah,
that's all they did.
You know, supposedly there was a scene in the movie that was cut that where Cogman was able to take control of Nitro Zeus. That's why you have the Titan Master ability to connect, but it was cut from. It was either cut or not even filmed in the movie. One or the other.
That's a shame. I'm not even going to go into last night.
That whole film is a shame.
It's a travesty.
Well, for a Michael Bay film, it wasn't bad. Asterisk mark. That's my answer to that. When someone asks me that, you know, there's always a caveat.
You know, if you sit down, turn your mind off, and watch it, you'll probably get entertained. But if you're a Transformer fan at all, generally I don't like it.
Yeah. I think if you have to preface your review of a movie saying if you get a lobotomy, it's tolerable, I think you've already lost. There's plenty of movies out there that I can enjoy as for what they are, like Starship Troopers. I mean, I love that movie. But it's not a good movie, but it's awesome nonetheless, you know?
Well, for me, that's like The Shadow. It's a terrible movie. Every time I watch it, I hate it a little less. I'll eventually actually like it another 30 or 40 years.
Why do you keep watching it?
Whenever it's on, if nothing else, I have to watch and discuss eyes. Just build the movie, they're just discussing.
You know what? You know why you watch it? You don't know, but the shadow knows.
The shadow knows.
I was going to say, it's some form of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, thank you, Bill Ridicles. That's a reference for all you old fans.
So, Robert or Don, do you have a Transformer-related Ouch My Wallet you might want to mention?
Go ahead, Robert. I've got a few things, so you go ahead.
I mean, I budget my stuff out, so if I want to buy it, you know, like it has to fit into my budget. Some of my bigger purchases recently, though, I've been actually scripting up a review for these earlier today, is got these guys. X-Transbot trucks. You know, they're not new or anything, but Shozi's store has been having a sale on them, and they're awesome.
The hoist is... I love the hoist. I love that hoist. The Trailbreaker had a few issues. I maybe not want to get them, but that hoist is really nice.
I ended up being just... I'm surprised at how much I like them. Like, I'd watched reviews on them, and it kind of turned me off, and I still think Takara is going to do them someday, but they've really gone silent on G1MP, so I said, you know, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy them. The price is right, and if me buying them is the catalyst to get Takara to release them, then I'll fall on that sword for everybody. You know?
Oh, he bought a G1. He bought a third-party G1. Do the announcement.
Yep. The other thing I got in with that at the same time, Transformer-related, was these, the Rumble's upstairs. These two guys also were really awesome, and I went ahead and finally got the birds with it too. I hated having to buy these as a set. I didn't really want to.
That's everyone I talked to wanted one or the other, but they didn't. Either you got people that wanted Laserbeak or they wanted Buzzsaw, but they didn't want to go with a set, and that's weird. They didn't do them individually.
Yeah, well, I guess they just got their money out of it better that way. But either way, all of these were sets were all really nice too, though. They look really good together.
I kind of wanted the Rumble, but
he's really cool.
Now that
I'll have a review out later.
Now that's the one we saw at TFCon in Washington last year with the pile driver motorized arms, right?
Yep, that's him.
Okay. I remember seeing them on one of the tables.
Those don't fit into Soundwave, right? They're too big.
No.
No, they're the size of regular cassettes, not mini cassettes.
So
what they need to do is they need to make
the fame is they have like a crunch swivel, right?
Yeah.
That's the new
height. They need to make an oversized sound wave for them to fit into.
Well, hang on, Wyzhang will probably do that before too long. They just get their Omega out of the way.
Which everybody's going gaga over.
I mean, and if you're talking about Ouch My Wallet, is the DX9 Gabriel. Which I've got from GCI Toys, which he's probably going to be getting them in pretty soon. So,
yeah, I'm thinking about getting the Guardian version because I've already got the Fans Project version because I was able to really Dynanomics him down. Basically, I wound up getting Part B for free, is what the way it worked out.
That's nice.
Yeah, but Gabriel, I want to get the Guardian version so I can have the two different colors. I'm hoping Wyzhang does Omega Supreme with theirs just so I can get all three versions and have each one as a different character.
They could do Mechabot. Does anyone know what Mechabot is?
The Diaclone predecessor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dark gray with red and stuff.
Yeah. I mean that would be a nice. It's just I don't want to triple dip on Omegas, you know, unless there's something, you know, character-wise there.
I just want the Autobot medic from the Wyzhang one. I don't want the rest of it. I need to find somebody that'll sell me the medic.
How does anyone have room for these Omega Supremes? They're as big as a child.
This is my masterpiece shelves behind me. I have no fucking clue where I'm going to put that thing. I bought it anyways. I was like, I'll make room. But I need to rework my shelves in general.
My Fans Toys Omega takes up two Detolf shelves. And as you can see behind me, I got a shelf that's got G1 Fort Max and Titan Return Fort Max. And then I have another shelf that has Titan Devastator, Titan Trypticon, the Toys R Us Primus, and the Takara Gajin Rai.
Yeah.
I have nowhere else to put a giant toy, and I have LG Metroplex on the horizon. I don't know where I'm going to put it.
The roof. There's always the roof.
I mean,
but is
I love
is
giant toys.
But
I mean, where's everyone going to? Where are these 8,000 Star Wars barges going to go? Other than in a garage.
The next Kickstarter are for shelves. Well, see, I can't say anything because in 1996, when I got my Grand Maximus, I got it from at BotCon from the Japanese dealers, the guys I think Fumihiko was still going to those, I think, if that's the right name. And I bought it, and Duran, you've heard the story of me buying the Grand Max and everything there at BotCon. And then after I get to the room, I realized I flew there. I didn't know how I was getting it home after I'd already paid for it. Granted, it was a Grand Max for $365 in the box. So
yeah, you do that. You figure it out. It's worth the shipping.
I found a way. But
yeah, talking about stuff that's too large. I mean, my back cave is still in the floor. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to get new shelves.
You need the big computer to go with it so they can talk to each other and have something to do.
I'm already to the point now where I'm kind of wondering where in the hell I'm going to put, like, just general releases, like Titan Returns. I mean, not Titan Returns, but Power of the Primes.
Power of the Primes. I mean, I'm starting to reduce. I'm starting to focus my collection more. So, like, the Masterpiece stuff, you know, kind of gets me going more these days. So I'm kind of paring down on some of the older mainline stuff. Like I cut out a bunch of movie toys and some Unicron trilogy stuff. I kept my favorites, but you know, more of those might pare down. I think over time, a lot of the Chug stuff, I'll probably start getting rid of some of it. And I mean, you know, it's like I bought it, I'll enjoy it for a few years, and then I might move on a bit on some of it. I think that's what's going to start. Well, so I can have room for bigger toys and nicer toys.
We've covered that on the podcast before. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with downsizing and clearing out more room for more toys. I mean, we've all done it.
Gross.
Don makes a pan of shame.
I mean, I did have a ripped question, you know. I know we've moved on, but I'm sure you've gotten this question before, Paul. I might have even asked you before, but do you ever get any cease and desist letters? Because, you know, again, you know, you guys are pretty much parody stuff, but, you know, it's obviously you don't own any of those IPs that you guys are parodying all the time.
Well, that's just it. It's parody, isn't it?
That's not going to stop a lawyer from sending a letter or getting nasty.
Anyone can sue you for anything, or they can try to, you know. Doesn't matter. We always try to tread the right path, you know. We try not to tread too low. And, you know, sometimes people still don't like what we're doing, you know. And rightfully so. Some people are going to say that. I'm sure there's lots of companies that wish we just didn't exist at all. But we like to think that we're perpetuating their brands and not actually, you know, taking anything from them. Because that's why we really stop to think about every design that we're selling. Everything is a human decision there, you know, basing it against the facts that we have. But we will get, some angry outsiders here and there. It happens probably a lot more rarely than you would. And I guess that's pretty much all I really want to comment on that. But it doesn't happen very often, and it hasn't ever really been a huge problem for us.
But have you ever taken a design down because of it?
I mean, like during the day of sale, no, because we basically inherently cease and desist by design. You know, every 24 hours.
Yeah,
that's kind of the point. You know what's weird though is sometimes we'll get a letter about something we sold a long, long, long time ago, which that's always funny. It's like, well, it's okay, we're done, it's gone.
You win. We're not going to sell that anymore, sir. Yeah. You're right.
Or they just don't understand that it's not for sale. You know, like even though it says not for sale on the page, they'll send us a screenshot and it's like, look at this. And it says not for sale. And we're like, it's cool. They just don't want it to even be there. So we'll take it off. That's fine. But I always like, you know, certain companies will reach out to us like that. And I'll look at my competitors, what they're doing. And I'm like, are these guys getting the same letters? Because they're literally printing like character A, like, just saying yay on the t-shirt and it's almost like it's not even an artistic representation. It's almost just like a cookie cutter, you know, found this on the net and copy pasted. So, you know, it's just the way it is.
I think it's a given in the business, honestly.
Well, we didn't start doing this pop culture stuff. That was not the plan, you know. That's just kind of like what naturally evolved out of the customer base and what people voted with their wallets, and this is where we're at.
It was an evolution revolution.
So how did it start?
Are we done with the ouch my wallet segment?
I think we needed Don still.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a question. I thought about it. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
We can come back to that specific question. Okay. I'm happy to talk.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of this I went over with last time. One thing I am very proud of, it's not Transformers, but I got my Zeo Ranger Morpher that I couldn't find locally, so I now have the Zeo Morpher there. That was something that was hard to find. But Transformer-wise, I picked up the first three of the Mech Fan Toys Dinobots. I liked the DX9 ones, but I didn't like that random yellow that they had trying to replace the gold look on the originals. So I picked up the first three of these. I found these had been going up in price for the longest time. And I found a seller with a good eBay feedback. I got them for $23 a piece, which is about 20 less than what a lot of people were asking for them.
Are those the ones that combine into a bigger guy?
DX9 does the war in the pocket or the small legend scale figures. These are slight upscales and recolors in a more traditional G1 look, and there's some interesting transformations there, and I wanted to get those. Again, I showed off Thundercracker that I picked up from my Toys R Us. I picked up... second time was a charm. The first one I got was supposedly new, and it came in used. Warbot Defender, which is one of the last possibly last one of the Fans Project toys, because my Diatlas is unfortunately treadless, sitting in a dark closet, and I have nothing on display for Diatlas, so that was a good alternative. And thanks to Donna Mouse, I got him for 85 shit.
I hear Fans Project is just restructuring. They're not gone. They're just restructuring.
I've heard their fans hobby. Again, unless some insider has information they want to come forward, I don't know for sure. But that's the two things I've heard. One, they're restructuring. Two, they're actually Fans Hobby under a new name. I don't know. That's just what
I've heard. Fans Hobby designs are so... I mean, like, even if it's the same... I could see it being the same business, but it's definitely a different designer. Because all the Fans Hobby stuff is very chunky and bulky. Yeah.
But I picked up Chigurah. Decided to go back and pick him up because I hadn't...
I love it.
One day Keith is going to do an Astro Chain, and I'm going to buy it. That's what I'm waiting on.
Well, see, I got Evil Star. Jordan, I think you were there when I got that Evil Star at that TF Con, and because I like the Steam locomotive more than like the current locomotive. Like that's just what I prefer to
the time. I think it was BotCon, the one in St. Charles.
Okay, yeah, and so I decided to go back and get him. I got Black Leader Class Blackout. Because I really didn't care for the Grimlock. I mean, it's just, it looks better in those colors, but it's still movie Grimlock, and I'm kind of done on movie Dinobots. And on an unrelated note, I also picked up, thanks to clearance sales, some Dynamics. I picked up a complete classic 85 Voltron from the Playmates line for about $80 for the entire set. So I'm kind of happy with that. It's still Line Force, Nazca's vehicle team, but for $750, I'll be all right.
That's not, I mean, if I had the room, I'd be all over that. But as it is right now, my legendary Voltron, I'm actually considering getting rid of it just to have a shelf, an open shelf. Because my whole legendary team is taking up an entire shelf right now, and I'm like, I need it.
I just hope Bandai doesn't do a Solo Chogokin vehicle Voltron anytime soon, because it's like, because I've got the Miracle Productions version, which same. I do like, but it, now have you got one, two, or three?
I got three.
I've got one with two level replacement parts. I never got the three. But they did send me all the level 2 replacement parts free of charge.
Oh, so it's just as good.
Yeah, it's just about as good, but we need a Solo Chogokin vehicle Voltron, in my opinion. After Trion 3. That's just me.
I got to get that Solo Chogokin Lion Voltron if they reissue it. I missed out on them the first time, but...
I'm just tired of Lion Force. That's just me.
I can see that. So Paul, let's come back to the topic here. The origin of Ripped. How did you guys come about the idea for it, and how did it start?
Well, back in college, I was in a band that was not notable for any reason, and we had to make shirts. You know, we sold shirts of our designs and stuff, so I kind of learned that process, and I was studying graphic design as my major in college. And so a guy that I lived with in college and a guy that was my drummer in the band, who we also went to high school with, they ended up all moving to Chicago, which I was already there at some point in 2008-2009, and we saw there was some shirt that got we spread around. It was a day on a daily t-shirt website. And one of my friends kind of came to me like, hey, check out this website. It happened to be like an Obama, like a pro Obama shirt or something. Just like an artist had drawn a caricature of Obama and put him on. And it was one of the featured shirt on this website. And my friend said, you know what? I bet we could do this, what this website's doing. I was like, really? And so he had like kind of the business side. I had the art side and the production, how to actually get the product made side of it. And our other partner was like kind of handle the website portion, like making the actual platform. And we took a car ride back to our hometown in Iowa, and over that 3-hour drive, we kind of like came up with the entire plan of what we could do and how we thought we could do it, and just the basis of, we didn't have a name, we didn't have much other than the concept, you know. And we said, hey, we're going to meet next Monday, and that'll be our first meeting. And so we met every Monday since that, on the dot. Every week. And then within 5 months, we had our company started, and the website was up a month after that, and we haven't missed a day since. So since June 8th, 2009, we've had new designs up on our website every night at midnight Central Time.
So what was the original concept of the website and the shirts?
It was just $10 t-shirts, and it was just men's shirts. I think it was small through, it might even just been small through XL, the actual beginning, no women's shirts. And it was just whatever, you know, artwork people, we had to search out art from artists online. So we kind of like found stuff that people had posted and be like, hey, would you like to feature on our website? We didn't really have a submission process. You had to email us your design, you know, and that could be in any format under the sun. So it was just a lot more hands-on, a lot more bootstrappy than it is now. A lot of stuff we've automated, you know, like the whole, there's a submission process where there's a format you send it in, and, you know, it's an online form that takes care of everything and spits it out in the back end of our website so we can look at it and vote on it a certain way. But the artwork was more just kind of original design aesthetic. There was actually a lot of clip art too back then, but a lot of it, you know, I always, when we started, I think one of my art directorial decisions was like, no text on the shirts. It should be all visual, you know, and like that clearly has gone out the window since, because almost every design has like some text on it somewhere. But awesome. I do remember being like really, really like holding on to that as an artistic integrity part of it. It really wasn't meant to be some sort of parody website, but we just found that the designs that really sold well, you know, had a connection in the past for somebody of something they saw somewhere down the way. So nostalgia has become a very big part of what we sell at Ripped. And me being into Transformers as much as I have, I kind of understand how that nostalgia works, at least, you know, in our fandom. So I try to use that to help guide my decision-making process.
Do you remember your first t-shirt that you sold, or at least one of your very first designs? Can you share it?
Yeah, it was called More Trees for Birds by Ninang Superman was the artist's name. He was some dude in, I think, Indonesia. I think we sold 34 of our first shirt, which I was like, whoa, I couldn't believe it. Because when we started this business, I was like, I just was like, wanted to do something with my friends. And I knew I could, you know, be involved, but I really didn't think it was going to work, because I was like, how are people going to know that our we're going to turn it on tomorrow, and no one's going to be like, oh, Ripped Apparel, let me go check it out. But somehow,
that was my next question, is how did you build up your marketing in the early days? I know how you do it now. Nowadays, you get screwed by Facebook. That's how you do it these days. But
yeah, well, back then, you know, I say this all the time, almost whenever people ask me this question, I can't pay Facebook for what I used to get for free. You can't. It's impossible. There is not a correlation to how much money you spend with how much you get back. It's a real mess, actually. And I'm not sure how, or if they're even going to try to fix it, but
a lot of people are upset. Well, way farther than just you.
Yeah,
I like him that.
I'm not screaming. You know, I'm not upset. You know, it's I have to deal with all the Facebook marketing right now, and it's, you know, it's making my hair gray. You can see, like, I'm starting to lose it.
You know, I liken that to growing this podcast. You know, we've gotten to where we are today simply by word of mouth. I've never paid for one Google AdSense, a Facebook ad. I've considered it. But what's the best way to reach your core target audience? By reaching out to people that are interested in what you're doing, and say, hey, here, watch us, listen to us, try it out. If you like it, let other people know. And that's how we got where we are, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I didn't really know how the internet worked till I started having to make money off of it. You know, that changed my entire outlook, you know? And I talked to, I'm really good friends with Ryan at Saber. Been friends for many years, and I talk to him all the time about this stuff because, you know, he makes his living off of people just browsing his website. And, you know, we try to pitch ideas back and forth on how to make it work without, like, just charging people for visiting and stuff. But it's a very difficult thing to do. And I think as a Facebook marketing, when you have just kind of a culture, like, you're generating a culture in your community, you know, people that listen to this podcast that get enjoyment out of it and they just want to support it. They're not paying for anything necessarily. With me, I have to be creating conversions with my advertising. So I don't recommend advertising for non e-commerce based sites unless you know you're not going to be, like, making. You have to know that that money is, like, being thrown in a fire. It's really going to be hard I can't think of the word right now. I'm fried. I guess, you know, just attribute the spend to a result. It's going to be difficult for you unless it's maybe subscribers, you know, downloads. You could maybe see, and it's probably going to be a long-term thing. It's probably going to take a few months to see an effect, but it might be huge. And you just don't know. And it's really risky to go down that road.
I mean, it's difficult for us to monetize, especially on YouTube, because sometimes we use some copyrighted imagery or content, and YouTube just cracks down on that so fast. You know,
outrageous.
So we just choose not to monetize the... Right? I choose not to monetize the YouTube channel. Who knows how much we could make if I could do that?
We actually require more subscribers.
Pieces of content that are specifically for monetization, you know, and, like, the podcast as it exists is just, like, outside of that. That might be one way to do it. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's a long play, you know.
It is, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, sir, just as an option. Have you, and again, this may be something similar you've already commented on, have you considered maybe going to the different retailers, like, let's say, Captured Prey, Big Bad, TF Source, just all the major Transformer retailers, and offer them and work with your artist and offer a selection of shirts exclusive, and each website gets their own selection of different shirts, and that customers can order that from the website. Now, granted, it will take it's not sent by that website, but, you know,
maybe sent by us,
sent by you, and they would know, you know, you're checking out and paying for it in their shopping cart program. But that way, everybody, all the major retailers, even the minor ones, could get a shirt or two, and that would increase your traffic and give them some exclusivity without having to maintain a product in their warehouse. Is that something you might could look at down the road?
Well, you're talking about essentially drop shipping for, you know, these other companies. So that it could be possible. They would have to be on, if any of them are listening, you'd have to be on Shopify specifically for it to work. But it's not actually a pretty good idea. We did a deal with TF Source at one point because
that's what made me think of that.
Kurt and I are pretty friendly. I don't know if they're still up on their website, but they have they actually bought a few select designs from us and like made an order, like a larger order that we then shipped to them that they were going to sell on their website after the fact, you know, but they were going to have to actually, that was a long time ago, and they had to actually hold the product. And I've actually made some deals with ages 3 and up in the past as well, but I think they sell those specifically in their retail store.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that would be
a good idea.
Yeah, because you know how Amazon has little add-on $4 and $5 items to get you closer to the shipping. If y'all had a shirt for say $20, and someone's looking at, okay, I'm at Captured Prey, I got 100 and what is it, Durant? It's still 150 for free shipping.
Yeah, 150.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got something for 135. You've got what you need. Nothing else you're looking for is out right now, but you can get an exclusive shirt you can't get anywhere else for $20. That would be and plus the money you save on the shipping would, you know, if that could be part of it.
If I'm drop shipping to them, there's no incentive for them to lower their there's no incentive for them to make that part of the lower shipping deal, because it would actually be more expensive because I would be shipping a separate piece. But I think there is, I'm being technical here. I'm not being fair. But I think there's something interesting about what you're saying, though.
That's why you're CEO.
It's partnerships.
Yeah, it just seemed like it's sort of like a win-win. Everybody gets a unique design that no one else has. The customers could get something that without having to, you know, go to 10 different websites that they wouldn't find anywhere else anyway if they did, and y'all get more traffic. So it just seemed like that'd be a good thing.
Well, from a retailer standpoint, it's a win-win when both the companies are making money.
Yeah.
And we don't care if the customer's happy, because they should be. They're going to be happy just by getting the stuff.
Right.
You know, or they wouldn't buy it. So ultimately, that when I have to make a partnership with someone, that's what I have to be worried about, is making sure we both feel like we're not putting in extra effort and getting less like return from
it. Oh, definitely.
But if we had this if we had like a print on demand thing, that would be pretty cool. There's something there. That's interesting.
Cool.
I need one of those e-tailers to come talk to me.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more.
Come on, Kurt. I know you're out there. I'll just text him and tell him, hey, did you listen to the last TFYLP, man? Hook it up.
All right, everybody. I think we need to wrap up here. I want to thank you, Paul, for coming on, and it's been a pleasure having you on. Hope you've enjoyed your time.
Your podcast is awesome, and I just think, I don't know how many other people are listening to it, but I've been listening to it for the past month, and I think it's really, really well done, and you guys are having good conversations, and I like listening to it, so
we really appreciate that. Absolutely. Robert, Don, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, just thank you for being on, sir, and thank you for making such. I love a lot of your designs. They're funny. Your artist pool is just phenomenal, and just thank you. I guess thank you for being part of the family. I guess.
Well, thanks.
I would just say shirts, buy them from Ripped, and hopefully I can make PFCon 2018 whenever it has a date.
Oh yeah, after my wedding maybe I'll have a date. So
congratulations.
You guys have a coupon, right? Oh, thank you.
What's that?
You guys have a Ripped coupon, right?
The 10%. If you're watching the video, it's down in the lower left-hand corner. But if you go to Ripped Apparel and you do your shopping, on the checkout, use the promo code TFYLPPOD, and you'll save 10% on your order of Ripped.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that once in a while, these things don't work, and it's for a limited time, and it's usually because we have a better promo going on at the current moment, like an auto discount. If you bought $50 worth of stuff, you get 20 off. So if your coupon doesn't work, it will work again later. There's a better coupon going on right now. So.
Yes. Well, thank you all for joining us this week on TFYLP. I hope it turns out okay. Again, I'm trying something different tonight. Until I can get the new computer built. The first components have been purchased. It's going to be a little process. I'm thinking maybe about a month month and a half to get it completed. But hopefully,
we're gonna have to throw a party when that computer finally gets put together, man. I've been hearing about it for a month.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a $1,600 build, and I've used Mac for years, and this is a PC that's being built.
Congratulations on getting a real computer.
Brutal.
Yeah. But last night I went and tried to build a comparable Mac to what the specs of the computer that I'm having built. And it was going to cost close to $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm saving a ton of money just having it scratch-built PC. Yeah.
That's... Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. This computer is going to be a beast. So if it doesn't work broadcasting, I'm just going to commit hari-kari or something, you know? I don't... But it should. I mean, 32 gigs of RAM. It's yeah, the right processor, because this computer here is just way underpowered. I mean, my laptop has an i5 in it, but it's only got like 4 gigs of RAM. So that's not even an option. So hopefully it'll clear itself out here in a little bit, and we'll get back on track. If this doesn't work, I'm just going to pre-record until that time, so just bear with us, guys. Thank you all for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighty, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.